The reason we developed MythBusters 2 was to continue the conversation from MythBusters 1. If you remember, last year we issued MythBusters 1 to encourage agencies and industry to have better, more productive engagements in the pre-RFP space so that industry had a chance to weigh in on the requirements and the structure of the contract, and government had the benefit of having good conversations so we could get a better sense of the market. So MythBusters 2 continues that conversation. The difference is these are misconceptions from industry's perspective, and so we are hoping to help industry use the time with government to be productive and engage in good conversations. So we have a few myths and misconceptions here with facts that follow up on good and productive ways to engage with government.
Now, I definitely want to go through a couple of the myths. I know there's a bunch, so we won't go through them all, but how did you come across these myths? How did you come up with them?
We'd had conversations with industry, and a lot of it came out of conversations after MythBusters 1 with agencies. We heard from our folks at the Frontline Forum, our senior procurement executives, some of our industry colleagues about what could we put out there to help industry engage with government in a very productive and meaningful way.
Joni, can you walk me through a couple of the myths that you think either stood out to you or came up time and again as some of the bigger myths?
One of them is that agencies have already determined their requirements, so the vendor impact during the pre-RFP, the pre-solicitation phase, is limited. You know, that's not so. We're finding that agencies are engaging with industry because industry has the critical knowledge that can really help shape the acquisition strategy and the outcome. So we're trying to bust that myth. And then another one, to develop my new proposal, I don't need to tailor my solution. I can take an old proposal for another effort and just slap a few new words on it. Totally not true. You need to tailor it so that you get the best evaluation during the source selection. So a few myths like that we're hoping to share with the vendors so they understand the government viewpoint.
And if I could jump in on that, this is Leslie. So one of the other myths that we have in there, it talks about price visibility and the misconception that agencies shouldn't share that kind of information or that they're not encouraged to share. We do encourage the sharing among government agencies of that pricing information so that we can do a better job when we have independent government cost estimates, when we're doing negotiation memorandum, and when we're determining price reasonableness.
And to be clear, when you talk about price visibility, you're talking about the idea that if an agency paid X amount of dollars, they tell another agency what they paid?
Exactly. So we think the price visibility part of it, and I know there's lots of transactions every year, but making sure that when a particular agency is buying something that another agency just purchased, we want to make sure that contracting officers are sharing that information.
I want to get in some of the new tools that you guys mentioned in the memo, but is there any way you're going to make that price visibility more easy to find?
So those are the things that we're thinking about and trying to determine what are the best ways to do that. That's a lot of information. A lot of the systems are not quite set up for that, but then we're looking at a number of options and alternatives to help us get better price visibility.
The other thing that stood out to me about some of the myths, that they seem so simple, so straightforward, almost like you had a aha moment, like, wow, people really believe that the agency has already decided what they're going to do while they're doing their market research. Is that still the case, even though it feels like that these are some really just myths that you wonder almost how can they be myths?
Right. Well, I have quite a bit of experience as a contracting officer, and these are some of these things I've heard throughout the years. But the memo is really targeted more for the vendors that are newer in working with the government. So they may not be familiar with working with the government. So this is to help them sort of sort through the maze of working with us.
The other thing is, how are you going to make sure that contractors and agencies kill these myths? Is there training? What's the communication plan?
We have a lot of outreach. As we did with the last memo, we had a lot of outreach at different venues. We talked to the agencies. Agencies were required to prepare vendor communication plans that are now posted on their websites. And so this is an ongoing conversation, and in our periodic meeting with the agencies, we also bring this topic up among other acquisition initiatives, not to mention our various outreach efforts with the Frontline Forum. We talked to them about it yesterday, the Chief Acquisition Officers Council meetings. We have a lot of venues in order to discuss this.
So this is Leslie. So in addition, there is new functionality on FedBizOps, one for small businesses and the other for vendor communication and collaboration. And so the FedBizOps page is actually a one-stop portal for companies to go in there and look at what's available for small businesses. Are there pre-RFP discussions happening? Are there webinars that they could attend? So we're trying to drive the agencies to post those opportunities in such a way that they're easily accessible on the FedBizOps page.
Let's talk about those vendor communication plans for a second. I see in the memo you guys bring those up, say that this is one result of that MythBusters 1 campaign. When you've gone through the vendor communications plans, how are they addressing some of the myths, both from 1 and obviously now 2? Are they going to have to update their plans to address some of these number 2 myths?
Well, the plans are not static. So yes, they will. I'm sure some will update their plans, but there's an effort to have more outreach to the vendors, and it's really a communication piece for the government folks within the agency to know, you know, how they should be incorporating this new vendor communication into their procurement, and also to vendors to know how the agency plans to handle this. It also holds agency official accountable for this effort.
Now, you also have a agency collaboration toolkit that you guys put up, I guess, on the OMB Max. Can you talk a little bit about what's in there and how that's going to relate back to both the MythBusters 1 and MythBusters 2?
We found that some agencies are a little further along in this effort than other agencies, and there's some, you know, artifacts out there, some documents that they, if they shared them, that would help everybody get to the same place. So we, on that collaboration portal, we have put different guidance from different agencies, different ways to address market research, for example, just anything that might help an agency get further along in the effort.
All right, and then you brought MythBusters 1 real quick. I just wanted to tag that back. Leslie, could you give us maybe a little bit of an update about the impact that's been having? Where are you seeing, you know, some real results from the improvement of communication between vendors and agencies?
It opened the door for contracting officers and program managers to have good conversations in the and sort of the planning phase of acquisitions. What we've heard from industry is that the document itself gives them a bit of a foot in the door, if you will, to talk to agencies about what they're doing. I think pulling together the information and the opportunities and having agencies drill down into their communications plans and then posting them actually required agencies to kind of go through a process of reducing barriers to entry. And so I think the process itself has led to a little bit of an inspection at the agency level of, gosh, what can we do better? What can we do differently? As Joni said, having somebody assigned to it so that there's some accountability there for making sure that this is an ongoing effort and not just something that we do once. And we've heard from agencies during Frontline Forum and the Chief Acquisition Officers Council meeting that they're feeling more comfortable having webinars, having conference calls on in the pre-RFP space. So all things take a little bit of time, but it seems to have been a catalyst for getting better communication and then ultimately better value.